Good afternoon and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM. The Boldness is about standing up for your disability rights instead of waiting for some well-meaning person to give them to you. My name is Rafael Caleb. We're going to have one of those very, very important conversations for people with a disability. It's about public transport and accessibility and a great new app from Navilens. Welcome to the Boldness, Oren McAllister from Navilens. How are you today, Oren?
I'm very well, yes. Good morning and good afternoon. Good morning from Spain, good afternoon in Australia. I'm very well this morning, and it's really kind of you to invite me on the program today, so thank you very much.
Well, is that how I came about Navilens? Navilens is a QR code that tells commuters more about it, and it's being trialled in partnership with Yarra Trams. What actually is Navilens?
So maybe a QR code might be underselling it a little bit, but it's kind of like a super QR code. So Navilens is a combination of these colourful codes that are made up from cyan, magenta, yellow, black, and then with a white border. And then using our own technology, which comes in two application forms, Navilens and Navilens Go, these applications then can detect these codes uniquely and provide information that is contained within the codes.
My experience of Navilens, for it to work, that app, whether it's Navilens or Navigo, it needs to be downloaded before it will read the codes. Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct. Currently, the applications, you do require to have them on the mobile phone. So you would require Navilens, would mainly be for people who are blind or partially sighted or vision impaired, because that information is provided text to audio. And then Navilens Go provides more of a visual experience to be more inclusive for everyone else. But currently, yes, it is required that the applications are on your mobile phone.
When we're talking about a super QR code, how do people know where the super QR codes?
I think for the Navilens codes to be functional, the camera of the mobile phone is required to be able to detect those codes. Now, you don't need to be right in front of the code in order to detect it. That's the unique element of our technology. Our codes are created in such a way that they can be detected at more than 12 times the distance of a regular QR code. They can also be detected within a wide angle, which is a 160-degree angle. So that's quite a broad scope to be able to detect the code. And you can also detect them while moving. So as long as you know that there are Navilens codes in the area, which we normally work with organizations on promotion to inform local associations to get the word out that Navilens is present in that particular location. All you need to do then is turn on Navilens. And almost these days, it's as simple as going, "Hey Siri, turn on Navilens." And it just opens up the Navilens on your mobile phone. And you just start scanning around. And because it's so powerful, because you can detect these codes so far away, wide angles, while moving, the phone will then automatically indicate to you when it detects a code in your presence, and it will tell you what that code is and then provide you information about that particular code, where it's located, what function it has in that particular location.
When the super QR codes are scanned, it will then tell commuters exactly when the next tram from Yarra Trams are. And more importantly, it does the next three trams and bus. When people are on the trams and they actually scan these QR codes, it actually tells you all the coming up stops. For example, I'm based in Melbourne. If I was to catch the number one tram in South Melbourne, which goes down to South Melbourne Beach, if I scan the code there, it will give me all the stops to South Melbourne Beach and the estimated time to get there.
Absolutely. That's the beauty of the codes and how it can be incorporated into transport in that way. So just simply by tagging into the real-time information that is there, that is visually available to everyone else, it's the same information. It just taps into that information and it gets renewed in real time. So you are getting that live information like everyone else who is commuting or who is traveling, and it will provide you with all of the information that is required, including next stop. It tells you how far away the next tram is. It also indicates to you the exact location of where you need to get onto the train. So the trams themselves have actually got codes on the outside to indicate where the entrances are. So it can help you find the entrance, as well as indicating what are the accessible entrances, because there are certain entrances on certain tram cars that are particularly accessible, especially for people with mobility requirements. Yeah.
How easy is it for people to find the Super QR Navi lens codes for people to be able to actually scan it and access this information?
I mean, as long as people are aware that the codes are being used in certain transport systems, it's really simple. It's a case of just opening up the mobile phone, opening up your application, and then just scanning around. You don't need to hold the phone way out in front of you. You don't need to raise your arm a lot. You hold it to your chest and you slowly move around, and codes will then be announced to you. So you will get information about entrances. You'll get information about accessible entrances, and you get information about platforms, and then information again about the train. So it's as simple as just having the phone there. Now, some people don't like, and some people cannot hold the mobile phone in their hands. So a lot of people use certain clip-ons that can clip onto their clothing or onto a bag, or they wear it around their neck in like a clear pouch. As long as the camera is facing outwards, the Navi Lens app will do all of the work for you, and also will give you the exact distance you are from that code. So if it is a platform per se, then it will actually indicate exactly to the centimeter how far away you are from that that particular location, so you can approach yourself safely. Yeah.
Well, what about privacy concerns? Let's say I'm on a tram and in Melbourne, it's peak hour. The trams do get very, very, very crowded. How does this affect commuters? If I've got my phone, I'm pointing at this Super QR code from, let's say, 5 metres away. Would people think they're taking a photograph of them, or if they're on the Navi Lens app, it will just read the app?
I mean, generally, we haven't found that to be any kind of an issue. You know, what we have found is that most travellers, particularly those who are vision impaired, that they do carry a cane or they have a guide dog with them. And I think that, you know, people now that nowadays understand that a lot of people use technology in order to navigate, in order to find the information that they need. So, I mean, we haven't come across that issue. And I think people are somewhat more understanding of these issues. Now, we also have another feature whereby any code that you scan goes into your history. So what you can actually do is, if you go into your history and you click on that code again, it will provide you with that information. So you don't always need to have the phone connected to that particular code. So you can lower the phone, and then when you go into your history, it will again provide you with that real-time information from that code that you've already scanned. So again, you don't need to hold the phone up. You don't need to appear like you're taking photographs, anything like that. And this is quite important when it comes to transport, because yes, there are a lot of other people around, and actually it could then down the line become maybe an extra benefit for those people, for example, traveling through airports, for example, because in certain areas of airports, like security, you are not allowed to be carrying your mobile phone and filming around the area. So there are certain benefits to that as well, that the codes are recorded within the application.
So what you're actually saying to me there, Aaron, that people would be able to use the Super QR codes generated from Navi Lens if they were offline, if they didn't have the internet?
So yes, we do have a new feature. Well, it's relatively new. You do require the internet, especially for real-time information, because you need to understand that that information renews every 30 to 40 seconds. So it is important to have some sort of access to either coverage or Wi-Fi, something like that, in order to get that real-time information. However, for any codes that are static, we do have a feature, and that's where you can put these codes offline. So if they're in an area where there is very little coverage, reception, Wi-Fi, or anything like that, you can actually list these codes as offline. And then what will happen is, when someone scans another code, when they do have Wi-Fi or they do have coverage, it will actually download the information from that code onto your mobile phone, so that when you do detect that code without coverage, it will actually provide you with that static information. However, it is important to remember that for real-time information, you do require, to ensure that you get the updated information, you would require some element of Wi-Fi or coverage.
Roll, who is the CEO of Navilens, and he showed me some of the potential advanced features that have been rolled out. Are you at liberty to slightly give people a hint of where this may go in a very general way? For example, if there was a super QR code which have been maybe rolled out on trial and they are available overseas, apparently if I scan this Navilens code, it would actually tell me about where the accessible lifts might be, what were the accessible entrances. It would also tell me where the destination of the public transport was, how to get there, and how it all links up. Mm-hmm. Is this just a possible pipe dream, or are we looking at the Jetsons of, yes, we can dream, and it might not happen?
I mean, you know, this is something that's very important to remember about Navilens, is that what we are constantly doing, we're constantly monitoring the technology itself to kind of say, where can we go next? How can we advance? We don't want to rest on our laurels and say, you know what we have is pretty good. We'll leave it out there and that's fine. No, we're constantly looking, how do we improve the experience? And as part of my job in itself, I work closely with groups of the users of our technology. Now, these are groups of people who are mainly blind or vision impaired. And we're always listening to their needs and finding out what do they want, what would improve this. Yeah, there are certain areas that we're looking into at the moment. Certain elements about knowing in advance, is Navilens in that area? How would I know? How do I find the information? And then how do I get there? You know, with time, Navilens is a relatively new technology. I mean, we're 7 years old this year. I often say, let's remove those couple of years of the pandemic. Just, you know, those years don't really count in sort of moving forward. But it's something that we're working really hard on. We're working tirelessly to make sure that Navilens is being used more widespread. It you know, in certain towns and cities, it's great that we are there, but we like to see that there is progress, that it is spreading out into other areas so that people can then use it more as a wider experience and be able to actually move around the area outside of the transport itself. So there are elements, and we're constantly reinvesting time, money, and ourselves into how do we keep abreast of this, you know, and AI is appearing. This is something that we're monitoring very closely. AI is great, but it's something that, you know, we have our own questions about. It's not always perfectly accurate, but we know that we have to monitor the situation. So we need to constantly be investing our time in ensuring that everything that we're doing is keeping up with the technology itself. Like, if you think about languages, for example, currently we're available in 37 different languages. Now, languages are spoken languages, so there are many more than 37 in the world, but you need a voice to be able to speak these languages on the mobile phone. As soon as a spoken language available, so you need a voice to speak that language, becomes available, that's another element that we add. We want to try and expand this so that more and more people can access this quite easily. So this is something we're constantly doing, just trying to improve. You know, only recently, again, we improved the distance reading. We improved the interface of Navilens itself so that it's more workable with screen readers and voiceover. So that's something we're just constantly trying to improve the technology so that we're keeping abreast of everything that's going on and the requirements of our end users. Now, that may be people who are blind and partially sighted, or actually may also be other potential users of our technology, because we like to consider ourselves inclusive as well. And that's why we've added the ability for people to add their own sign language videos. You can add pictograms. You can add easy to read information. You can then, as we spoke about, the accessible entrances, so you can provide an augmented reality experience for people who have mobility requirements. So people in wheelchairs or anything in it like that, anybody that requires that kind of assistance. So we're constantly just trying to keep up with how technology is.
Thank you very much for your time, Aaron McAllister. We've been talking about the Navilens app and accessible and inclusive public transport. Now, just before we go, the sneak question, the partnership with Yarra Trams, great place if people with disability were able to display art on there, working all together, because people with disability are 20% of the population in Australia, and in Melbourne, which is where Navig Lens is based for the moment, Public Transport Victoria. That would be around 1 million people. That's a bit more about equitable. Any chance? What? And Yarra Trams does have artwork on the trams too. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's vitally important. I think when it comes to increasing accessibility, I think it's absolutely wonderful to include people who can be a part of the process as well. And in this case, that involves artists. I recently worked on an art trail in London with guide dogs, and they created 25 statues of guide dogs. And the majority of those statues were actually painted by artists who were blind or vision impaired. So this was this just showed the sort of interest and the ability to be able to do that in such a wonderful way. So, I mean, I think it's such a wonderful idea. Obviously, it's the final decision will lie with Yarra Trams. But, I mean, I love the idea. And I think it's incredibly important, and being able to also show the public.
Well, again, thank you very much for your time, Aaron. And for all the people out there in the world, make sure you do download the Navig Lens app on your mobile phone. It does work extremely well. Thank you very much for your time, Aaron.
Changing.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM. We have just finished talking with Aaron McAllister from the Navig Lens app. And now I have been joined with David Simmons, who's a Director Transport Accessibility and Inclusion. Welcome to the Boldness, David. How are you today?
Hi, Ref. Really well, thank you, and pleased to be on the show this evening.
Thank you very much. Now, David, we're going to be talking about some of the ways that Public Transport Victoria has been making it more accessible for commuters with a disability. Let's start with, what about the Sunflower campaign?
Yeah, Raf, really excited to talk a little bit about the Sunflower program. The Sunflower program is a fantastic initiative, and it provides people who have non-apparent disabilities or invisible disabilities and health conditions. It gives them the ability to identify themselves through the use of either a wristband or a lanyard, someone who may need an extra level of assistance. And it's an opt-in system where, so it's certainly not compulsory, but for those passengers who would like to take advantage of this program, they can wear either the lanyard, the wristbands, and frontline staff members across our public transport network will be able to identify those passengers as being a customer who may require an extra level of assistance, and will the frontline staff members are trained to identify the Sunflower lanyards or wristbands, and will make themselves available to offer that extra level of assistance to customers.
Look, that's great, because 90% of disabilities are invisible, and that gives people the option of making their lives a lot simpler for how people can access transport to get around all around Melbourne. Now, a big one, interesting one, which I came across, would you be able to tell us about the Access Travel Pass?
Yes, absolutely. A number of your listeners may not know that there are a number of different passes that they may be eligible for in terms of using the public transport network. So I would encourage your listeners to jump onto the website, the PTV website, and review the information around the various passes that are available. There's a particular one, the Access Pass, that you've made reference to. The Access Pass is available and may be eligible to customers who have a permanent either disability, health condition, etc. So the details are certainly on the website, but essentially it provides those customers with a personalised MyKey, has their photo on it, and it it provides them, I guess, the freedom to use the network without actually having to tap on and tap off. Those customers, that they will still need to show their pass to frontline staff members upon request, but you don't actually have to tap on, tap off to get through barriers and on and off of different modes of transport, etc. So for those customers who need it, it's incredibly valuable. As I said, I'd encourage your listeners to jump on the website, explore the different passes that we do have available, whether it's a scooter pass, whether it's an access travel pass, and see if there's a pass there that they might be eligible for. And if they'd prefer, they can actually call 1-800-800-007, which is the PTV call centre, and the staff would be more than happy to help them through.
On the long haul regional Victoria plane trips up to, let's say, Albury, Mildura, there's been some recent changes to the booking system as well.
Yeah, I'd love to talk through that, Raf. So it was a couple of weeks ago now, the minister announced a change to the booking system, or the booking services around long-haul regional rail services. Essentially, the change was that, and I guess for a bit of background, for a number of years now, passengers have been able to book or reserve seating on board long haul services. It hasn't been compulsory. Customers have certainly had the ability to reserve seating. And I guess that provides that extra level of certainty for customers that, you know, they know that they've got a seat secured. However, what we haven't had the ability to do in the past is to actually reserve allocated spaces. So for those listeners that aren't familiar, on board our rail services, we have allocated spaces that are set aside for people who use mobility devices, whether that be a wheelchair, a motorized mobility device. And in the past, passengers haven't had the ability to reserve those allocated spaces. So we've been working with our operator, V-Line, and we've now come up with the extra functionality required so that customers are actually able to reserve the allocated spaces on our long haul services. So that, like what we've had available for, I guess, seating on board the rail services in the past, that now provides customers who require those allocated spaces that extra level of certainty in terms of there being an allocated space available for them to travel on the service.
Right. Well, thank you very much for your time, David, for talking with the boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM around what are some of the ways that Public Transport Victoria is more accessible to people with a disability. Thank you very much for your time, David.
You're most welcome, Raf. Thank you for having me on.
The Boldness will be back on the 21st of August at 6 PM discussing the National Disability Insurance Scheme and the proposed changes. Would like to say valet to Finn Mir, who passed away very, very suddenly a couple of weeks ago. Finn Mir was a well-known disability activist and advocate and hosted the Boldness for around 15 years. Our thoughts are very much with Finn Mir's family and his friends, and he's much missed by the community. Also, you can keep supporting 3CR with the Radiothon appeal by calling 03-9419-8377 and nominate the Boldness as your favourite program. We've been talking about the Navilands app with Oren McAllister and how public transport is more accessible with David. Thank you very much for your time. Let's go out with a song, Keep On Fighting by Michael Bolton, who is part of the Wild at Heart songwriting group. Keep listening to 3CR. Look forward to talking to you next month.
Keep listening to 3CR.